So this has nothing to do with the sermon, but you're all going to ask the question anyway, so I can just answer it all at once and save my way through there. If for some reason you can't see me over there, I'm trying to be as clear as I can be to find my way through there. So I tend to do everything just all in. Like, I don't do anything halfway. So I was coaching Aaron in lacrosse on Monday and showing this awesome move called the face dodge, where you kind of cut to one side and then you fake back to the other one. So when I did it left, it was perfectly fine. The kids were all impressed. They're like, what a cool move to get around people. And then I showed them to the right and my knee totally collapsed. And they're like, is that part of the move? It's a lot of laughter until they realized their coach wasn't getting up off the ground again. So I don't have a total confirmation on that. It takes a while for insurance to say it's okay to get an MRI. But I have three medical professionals that tend to believe it's probably an ACL that's torn. So if that holds true, I'll be sitting in your presence for a little bit. I am not wearing a robe just because it kind of gets in the way of the crutches a little bit. So we'll just kind of adapt to that as best we can. That might be another 5 weeks or so on crutches, but we'll feel it out as we go and kind of find our way through. So appreciate your concern about that, but it's largely just a patience thing. Honestly, it's much harder on Melissa because there's so much that I can't do around anymore. So if you have any extra prayers, you can throw them her way as well. But with that aside, we still get to hear God's word. We still get to hear that. I mean, my tongue is not wounded. So you can pray for that next time if you want. But let's start with prayer then. Father, we thank you for gathering us back again today. We realize that you have resurrected your son Jesus so that he is alive among us. And we want that living Jesus just to begin to change and impact our hearts. I pray, God, over this next series that we're going to learn, that you would really transform every relationship that is here. Grant us a freedom and a peace and a life that we have not fully known before. And we pray that in your name. Amen. I am excited about this series that we're starting called Boundaries. A large percent of my work, significant portion, has been in counseling individuals. And hands down, this idea and concept of boundaries that I think is really biblically founded, as well as there's some popular books out about that too, is just at the core of almost every time I'm counseling. So if you've ever come to me for counseling, whether you knew it or not, whether I even used the words or not, these ideas are kind of endemic in there. It has been really significant for me in my own marriage and my own relationship with my kids. So I want to take the next 8 weeks, and it won't cover the entire idea of it, but it's going to give a foundation into what that concept means for us. So I really hope you can stick around for these 8 weeks and kind of be really consistent and do some work even on your own. I think the more we put into that, the more we can hopefully leave as a congregation with this sense of understanding. How do we have these kind of rich and significant and safe relationships around us? What does that mean? I think it'll probably be significant for all of us here. So we'll start with that. But just as we start with that idea of boundaries, what I'd love for you to do is to turn to someone around you and just take just the idea on its own and say, where do I see boundaries in the world around me? Can be good ones, can be frustrating ones, doesn't matter. Where do I see any boundaries in the world around me? So go. So it looks like you see some. I see almost everybody sharing something. Can we hear back a little bit? We'll start maybe over here. What are some boundaries that we see? Anyone want to share some? Huh? Backyard fence is a boundary, yeah. Which can work keeping things out that you don't want in and keeping in animals or children that you want in and don't want out. Yeah. Huh? Sure, yeah. That's a really deep one, Kim, but I appreciate that. Like in any, no, in any relationship that's close, we have a sense of often some places that we can't really talk about things, right? You know it's a hot button, you know it's going to get energy and whatever, and so there's already been this emotional boundary that's been put around that, that functions like a barbed wire fence or like a Doberman pincer that's like, just stay away from there. Just don't poke your nose where it's not welcome, yeah. What are some other boundaries that we see? Huh? Between management and employees. And again, that can be healthy or not, but there's boundaries of office doors, there's boundaries of policy of when you can talk to them and what you can talk to them about. And we understand those things, yeah. And the Ten Commandments? Did you read my notes ahead of time? Jan! I'm so shocked. Yeah, the Ten Commandments are great boundaries. So we can start even with that image because any of us that have been out on roads understand that there's boundaries all over. I was talking with my Iraqi kind of family, and the dad is trying to learn the American road system so he can get a driver's license and get a better job, etc., which is great. So we had great conversations about what does that line mean and what is that and what is this for, but all of those are boundaries, right? And in healthy ways, they're like, this is the lane that you're in, so you don't veer off into other ones. If you drive in a whole lot of third world countries, they have roads without boundaries, and it's much more chaotic. So boundaries can be functional for that, right? We have, even in the front of our houses, not just a fence in the back, we have a door that functions as a boundary, right? Most of us are not too upset if somebody comes and rings our doorbell, because we have a very kind of public nature about that. Maybe you have a no soliciting sign, but apart from that, if somebody rings the doorbell, if they're selling something, Girl Scout cookies or magazines or whatever, if they're wanting you to join the cult of the month or whatever it is, we grant them the freedom to ring that. But would you be surprised if they just entered your door when you opened it? Yeah, how would you respond to that? Yeah, there would be some emotional response there, right? And it might be fear, it might be anger, it might be other things, because that's a boundary. And even though it's not a solid one, like when you open the door, but it's a recognized one that we have that says, you can come and stand there and ask me a question, and I will grant you that freedom, but you do not have the freedom to enter my home. Even within the home, we have other boundaries too, right? We have our classic stay out of my room teenager poster on their door boundary, right? Which is even healthy at times, right? I mean, everybody needs a little bit of mental or even physical space where I can be alone, right? So here's a sign from a teenager that says, I need a boundary. I need a place where I can just be on my own, right? I mean, there's bedroom doors that have boundaries. As parents, we keep kids out at certain times. And then we also remind kids that you can't take other people into your bedroom with you and close the door because that's a boundary that we have. So we have all those kind of boundaries that function around us. We have physical boundaries too. If I were to come up behind Larry and lightly touch him on the shoulder with my fingers, that would probably be acceptable. If I were to come up to Larry and grab his hand and begin to caress it, it probably would cross a boundary. And Larry might be nice about it, but Barbie probably would not be as... No, like we understand, right? We have, and so many of those things we don't talk about openly, but we can laugh, but that's because we all understand. Like as Americans, that's just kind of written. If you want to grab someone's attention from behind, you can. You know, it doesn't matter gender, whatever, you can lightly touch them on the shoulder, but a whole lot of other things like, no, that's not acceptable, because I have a boundary around that. And all of those things are healthy for us. And we have, and Ken did a great job of pointing that out, we have these internal boundaries too. So the external ones are much more obvious to us, but we have boundaries around our own hearts and around our own emotions and around our own thoughts and ideas. And those are really the ones that we want to dig into. Boundaries function largely to show what is me and what isn't. When you get down to that level, right? They'll show where my car can go, where it can't, who can come in my house or not. But when you get to that internal level, they're largely designed to say, this is who Brian is, and this is who Brian isn't. This is who Paul is, who Paul isn't, right? These are the boundaries that define who I am and who somebody else is. And all of that is significant and important, right? If we don't understand that, we'll wound and mess up a lot of relationships around us. But to get back to Jan's point, God has boundaries too. So we're made in his image. So this is not just a human kind of thing. So Jan pointed out the Ten Commandments. So you can turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, which along with Deuteronomy 5 is one of the places that that is mentioned. And you can see as God gives us the Ten Commandments, they are, in all honesty, would be a great study on boundaries just going through all 10 of them. It's a great just kind of initial place to start. Like, here are boundaries and relationships that define where we can go and where we can't, right? They're pretty open and clear. Like, if somebody has stuff in their house, you can't go and take their stuff away, right? That's a really clear boundary, right? If somebody's married to someone, you can't go and take their spouse, right? There's clear boundaries. But God begins by saying, let me begin with my boundaries, right? Here's the boundaries that define what is God and what isn't. And that's exactly where he starts, right? In verse 1, he says, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is who I am, and now this is who I'm not. Here's my fence, right? You will have no other gods before me. I'm not like any of the other gods. I'm not associated with them. They don't hang out within my boundaries. I've got a fence that says all of those are out there, but this is where I am, and if you come into mine, then they don't come in with me. You don't make idols, so I am not something to be created in a human form, right? God says, my nature is beautiful on its own right, but it cannot be captured in a physical form, so you cannot do that. That's a boundary that God offers. He goes on a little bit later, in verse 7, to say, and my name is a boundary. It's not acceptable for you to misuse in different ways. So he begins the Ten Commandments by saying, if you want to have a healthy relationship with me as your God, then you have to understand my boundaries. So boundaries, again, are in any healthy relationship, they're there. They say, this is who I am. I know myself. I know who I am. I know who I'm not. If you want to relate with me, you relate on the basis of what those boundaries are. That is true in any of our relationships, and it's true for us as well. So God wants us to have boundaries. Boundaries are not bad things. They're things that he desires for us. We have that short proverb that we looked at, Proverbs 4:23, which says, above all else, so a very high kind of calling from God. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Here is that internal place that God is saying, put up boundaries around it so that it's safe. Because he recognizes we live in a world in which your heart on its own is not safe. To just say, oh, it'll never get wounded, it'll never get hurt, I'll be fine without any boundaries, isn't wise, isn't thoughtful. We live in a world in which people will not only wound your bodies, etc., but they'll wound your hearts. So God is saying, above all else, I want you to guard that. This is certainly a solid idea. Any of us that has lived through middle school understands that, wow, I should probably protect a few things about myself because I can't trust everyone else around me. All right, that's, yeah, elementary, middle is where we learn a lot of those kinds of basic ideas. So we understand that's a solid idea. The question for us begins to be when you try to say, what are those boundaries? What exactly is your heart? What are the legitimate things that you should protect? And are there places that you shouldn't build walls around? Right? If somebody says, hey, I've got this really, really valuable thing I want you to guard, but they can't tell you what it is, it's going to be almost impossible to guard it. So if you don't have a clear sense of what your heart is, how will you know how to guard it? How will you know how to protect it until you can honestly say, this is where my boundaries need to be, and this is what my heart needs to be. So this is really why we're spending 8 weeks on this. Because what I would love for at the end is that we can all have a really clear sense that says, this is what I need to guard in myself and what I need to let others guard in themselves, right? So that I understand how to protect and guard this wellspring of my life. Because when I let it get trampled on, then I get wounded and I begin to wound others and all those things begin to flow out of it. So our goal then is to be able to say, how is it that I guard this heart of mine and find productive ways to do that? At this level, it seems almost like boundaries are building the biggest walls we can imagine around our heart, right? How do we put layers and layers of concrete and masonry and some iron rebar or something in there too and build just the tightest wall around our heart we can possibly get? But that is a misunderstanding of boundaries too. Boundaries are guidelines around there, but they're not solid walls that are impermeable. They're not about saying, I need to live as a hermit on the highest mountain as far away from any other people as a solution to guarding my heart. Right? And all of us have had that rebound response. When you've been wounded by somebody, like your initial response is, you know, let me start mixing some concrete and setting some forms because I'm making a wall that nobody's ever hurting me from again. And that's not the goal that God gives us. Right? He says, I want you to have boundaries. And we'll spend a lot of time digging into this, so we won't get it all today. But the idea is there that it's not this impermeable boundary that nothing ever gets through, because then you lack relationship. And boundaries are there to build relationship and to define relationship, not to strip it away from us. So simplest example, and that's not the one in the picture, but when we're driving around and all those markings on the road, right? The lane markings are down there to enable cars to be in a healthy relationship with each other. They're not there to keep you from ever being around other cars. They're there to help you be around cars in ways that don't scratch your car and don't keep you from getting places and allow things to flow as efficiently as possible. So those boundaries are there to define and benefit a car-on-car relationship. And so these internal boundaries are there not to keep us away from relationships, but to provide healthy ways to have them. So look there, you have a father reading to a son, maybe it's around bedtime. When you have healthy boundaries about what it is to be a father and to be a son, and you know what those roles mean and what's acceptable and what's not, then you have what is a really good relationship. When you don't have those boundaries, then you can have a son who refuses to acknowledge that something known as bedtime even exists, right? And they rebel and push against what is a proper authority from a parent because of that relationship there. And then you have what is an unhealthy relationship, right? Because boundaries don't exist. And those are the things that strain us. So we're not trying to get rid of any human relationship. We're trying to say, how can we be in great relationships? But to do that requires boundaries. And we tend to have this example that either I build up huge walls that no one gets close, or we just let anybody in, whatever, and then you're either isolated and alone, or you get hurt a lot. And God has this model he wants to share with us that says, here's a way to be in a relationship where you're not endlessly wounded. It doesn't protect you from everything. But where you also examine and experience that joy of relationship. And you get to be a part of all those kinds of things. This is God's goal for us. So as an example of that, we're going to look at least briefly this morning at Galatians chapter 6. So I'd love for all of you to open your Bible to that. If not, you can grab one out of the pews or grab one out of your phone. Wi-Fi password for guests should be in the bulletin, so you can log on if you want to for that. If you want to look into the Bible and check those things out. So we all want to be looking at Galatians 6. It's a fascinating balance point that if you don't read it carefully, you'll probably miss. So what we're going to do this morning is read it carefully. So we'll just use the center aisle, making our way down there. So if you are on this side of the center aisle, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and we're going to take what will essentially be the first four words in there. I think all the translations will probably be about four words. If it's five, it'll be the first phrase. The rest of you over here on this side of the center aisle are going to read, and we'll read it out loud. We're going to read out loud Galatians 6, verse 5. Okay? Verse 2, first four words or so, and then all of verse 5. Okay? So I'll give you a second to make sure you have Galatians 6 found and you're ready. Verse 2 over here, verse 5 over there. Okay, I see fairly eager faces, so we'll go ahead and do that. So we'll start with verse 2, the first four words over here. Ready, guys? Carry each other's burdens. Verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. Right, so when you hear them together, you can hear the contrast really powerfully. Right, if you're just kind of reading your way through the Bible and you don't really slow it down enough, you may miss that. And they may just kind of stand apart, but it's pretty obvious to see that either Paul is confused or somehow there's like some part of caring and some part of not caring or some part of doing it for others and some part of doing it for yourself that's really important. But all of this is really an idea of boundaries that I want to kind of break down for you. So we'll start with verse 2, kind of find our way through that. What we have here is again a sense that boundaries are not isolation, right? This says carry each other's burdens. So even as we look at healthy boundaries, God is saying, I'm inviting you to be in relationship with others. And sometimes that means that you move into areas of their life and you begin to be engaged in those. Right? So here's a clear calling from God that says, do not live selfishly, which is what it is when you build up walls around your heart. Right? That is just selfish living. It says, no one will ever hurt me. God says, I don't want you to. I want you to carry someone else's burdens. Right? This is a responsibility that we have for others to engage in their lives. We do for others what they are unable to do for themselves. That word burden in there is essential to this excessive load. Think perhaps of an idea of a boulder, right? Nobody should carry a boulder on their own. Right? Boulders, if they have to be moved, and sometimes they do, you should get a group of people together. Right? You're foolish, no matter what age you are and how beefy and strong you are, to think with a large boulder, oh, I'll just move it on my own, right? That's a recipe for physical disaster for you. And the boulder will probably not be anywhere other than where it was. So we want to have a team around that thing, and that's how we carry others' burdens. That's the word that's used in this verse. It's different than verse 5, but we'll get to that in a moment. So we want to do for others what they're not able to do for themselves. This can look differently for different people. Right, so in the picture behind, we see an older man who is using a walker and someone younger who's carrying the groceries, right? So for that older gentleman, we can see that the grocery bag would be a burden, right? It would be a boulder. Now, for many of us, carrying a bag of groceries does not equivalent to a boulder, right? It isn't. We could carry two. We could carry three sometimes, right? So it varies depending upon people. There's not a set standard that always says that. This was the most emotional moment for me this week, the most frustrated that I was on Friday, where for the first time in my whole life, my wife had to mow my lawn. Right, so that was just me being frustrated because what was normally the thing that I could carry all the time, right now because my knee has no stability to it, is not a place that I can go. Right, that suddenly became a boulder that was too big for me to find my way around, and that was difficult for me to find my way through. But that's what it means to carry someone else's boulder, and that might vary again depending on people's abilities, depending on where they are in life. It might be seasonal, it might be whatever. There's lots of examples of that. When we engage with foster kids, right, we're coming alongside children that are facing largely emotional boulders in their lives. And we're acknowledging and saying, that's really too big for a four-year-old kid to carry on your own. And I can't do it all, but I'm part of a team then that's going to help you carry that boulder, right? So that becomes important for us. That's why we carve out our time to be around them, because that makes sense. That's why we do that for refugees, because you don't even know our language, you don't know our culture. That's a really big boulder. It's not a boulder if you were born in America, right? I mean, me talking English is not a boulder for me at all. But if you've never learned it, that's a really big boulder. And so then we come alongside and then we say, hey, can I help you carry that boulder for a while? Can I be with you as you understand all these challenges that for me are not big, but for you are? Right, so we become engaged in their lives, and those are ways that we come alongside and carry each other's burdens. Right, we do that when we visit people in the hospital, when they face cancer. Right, there's a boulder that's come up in their life, and they need a team around them to address that. Sometimes emotional, sometimes physical. They need meals or other kinds of things to help out with that. When someone's grieving, right, and maybe Stephen Ministry comes alongside, or you just do as a friend. We say, hey, here's this emotional boulder in your life that you might want to try and do just on your own, but it isn't really healthy for you. And so, according to what Paul says, we should carry each other's burdens. The very best, most beautiful example of this is what we have here in this cross, right? This is Jesus looking in your life and in mine and saying, you have a boulder called sin that you're never budging. And you'll just break yourself on that first mountain over and over again. So I'm going to carry your burden for you. And he lifts it all up, right? He puts it on himself. And he carries the boulder bigger than any other one we're going to face. But that's that example that says that we are called and invited not to live in isolation, but every one of us to say, can I see these burdens, these excessive weights in the lives of others? And can I, in whatever way I can, this isn't a letting go of your boundaries. What's amazing, and we'll learn that, is you can carry your boundaries with you as you engage on these things. It's not this set place you have to walk outside of. You can bring them with you. You can do it in healthy ways. But God's saying, I want you to be engaged in others, right? There are burdens others have that you need to help carry. So all of those examples are there. In verse 5, we get a different Greek word. So it's not a word of a boulder. It's much more the word of a daily load, of a cargo, of a backpack, essentially. So think of boulder or backpack as two kind of different models. And see if you can go to the next slide there. We're responsible then for ourselves. That's what verse 5 says. Right, we have a responsibility to others in verse 2. In verse 5 it says we're responsible for our own stuff. He says you should carry your own load. This is the idea of again, the backpack, even of cargo pants, right, or a purse. Right, here's what I'm supposed to carry on my own. Right, if you see this family, you know, at the mall or here at the church, where there's a husband who's carrying his wife's purse all the time, what do you think? Good luck, Michael. Maybe he's a nice guy, if there was some reason that she needed it. But the reality is, what's in your purse, what's in your wallet, what's in your cargo pants, or whatever you have, right? I mean, it's largely, if you're healthy, that's your responsibility to carry. Right? You're the one that's choosing to put those things in there, and you are capable of carrying things. And again, it may vary depending on people, but we all, the Bible says, are required, are responsible to carry our own load. Now that is not only a physical kind of load, it's those internal loads too. So this means that we are responsible, for example, to carry our own emotions. It's a really important idea to get a hold of. Most of us don't really live this out, so we'll have to say this again and again for a while. Your emotions, though, are your own cargo. They're your purse. And you are responsible for them. Nobody else is responsible for your emotions. Nobody's responsible to make you happy if you're not. Nobody's responsible to make you unmad if you're mad. All of those are the responsibilities that you take on for yourself. You are responsible for whatever emotions you have. So you can't put that responsibility on someone else and say, my happiness depends upon you. You can't do that in a marriage, no matter how romantic it may seem or feel. You can't put that responsibility on another person. You can't put that on your kids or on your parents. Nor can you try to step into their boundaries and say, I see that you feel differently than what I want you to feel, so I am now going to take responsibility to carry your purse for you. And now I'm going to take responsibility to make you happy when you're not. Or I'll take responsibility to relieve you of this small burden of your emotions, which is really yours to carry. Which in a lot of relationships happens frequently. Right? When someone has an emotion that isn't an easy one to be around, almost our gut response is, how do I fix that emotion for you? How do I carry your backpack for you? And again, apart from some few moments where that might become necessary under an invitation, largely that remains someone's own responsibility to deal with. That is the weight of our own responsibility. This is not something we can carry. Our attitudes are the same kind of place, so maybe a reflection of emotions. So I had a child yesterday who woke up with a fairly negative attitude. Just kind of leave it at that, right? Got to engage with this child for a little bit, but I was very clear with her. I mean, I pointed out the attitude. I said, I understand that's how you're choosing to feel right now. I don't think that's a whole lot of fun for you. I'd love for you to find a different way to respond to the circumstances around you. If you want some help to figure that out, I'd love to help you. But if not, You got to live there. So I didn't pick up her cargo for her. I didn't carry it for her. I didn't even offer to do it. I said, if you're really stuck and can't figure it out, I can tell you how I get out of those things. I mean, how I carry that cargo, but I'm not intending to do that for you at all. So this is a real clear sense of saying, I know who I am and I know who she is. Right? I know where those boundaries are. I know what I'm responsible for in myself. I know what she's responsible for in herself. And later on, she figured it out, and she found that out, and she's like, I figured out how to do those things. Right? But this is what it is to be in a healthy relationship. When you step outside of that and try to mess around in someone else's boundaries or invite them to come and fix yours, then we have the wounded relationships because we're not meant to be in those places. So attitudes fit into our own responsibility. Our own behavior, our own choices, our own chores, the thoughts that we think inside our head, all of those are our own cargo, our own backpack that we carry with us, the job that we have. Sometimes those are paid jobs that we have with real clear guidelines. Sometimes they're jobs at school. Sometimes they're just jobs around the house, right? All of those things, again, barring some kind of injury or whatever, are our own cargo. All right, so the better we understand even how to communicate, like, that is your responsibility. That's what it is to be a healthy, functional human being. The better we learn these relationships together. There is a problem anytime we refuse to accept help for our boulders. All right, I felt that emotionality when my wife had to mow the lawn. But anytime there's a boulder in your life and you refuse to let anyone else come near, you invite this ongoing pain. And you may think it was pain it was relationships that got me here, so I'm not doing it again. But I will guarantee you, without relationships, you never get away from the pain. Without inviting somebody back into that place. So you may think, I want to grieve just on my own. I want to bear this burden on my own. If it's that of that nature, you'll just invite yourself to endless pain. Right? So if you are not willing to let somebody else in, that's why those boundaries are flexible, right? Here, I need help with this. So I have to find safe people, right? You can pick and choose, that can come inside and help me carry this burden. Likewise, if you just open up your boundaries and begin to ask people to carry stuff that's on the inside for you, or you begin to step inside theirs and ask to carry theirs, you invite irresponsibility. And we can all see individuals at all ages, right, that function in that level. They continually assume that other people are responsible to come and fix what is inside my boundaries. And that's not true. So for us today, what I want us to do is kind of a homework as we move out from here, as we begin to think about these things, is just to begin to answer the question, what am I responsible for? What goes in my purse or in my backpack? Right? That is my stuff. And honestly, this is a conversation to have with your families. If you have a 5-year-old kid, they have boundaries. They need them, right? That's healthy. You know, what does Ellie's backpack look like? You know, what needs to fit inside of there? What does Penelope carry with her that she needs every day to say, this is what is my responsibility that I own, right? So a great conversation to have at any level of family, even as a spousal relationship, etc. Man, really rich conversations to have. If you're living with anybody in the same house, like what's in my backpack? What do I carry with me? In any relationship you are, a really rich place to go. And honestly, the better you share that with others, the better you learn these things. So these conversations are really good to have. So do that as a family together. You'll learn from others where their boundaries are, and you can begin to say, oh, that's probably one that I ought to share for myself too. You will have much better conversations the more you learn to have this boundary language is a part of your everyday life. So even processing, you know, together, is this a backpack or a boulder? What do we think? And if you're not sure, then what's your response? Like, do I try it out as a backpack for a while? And if it's not getting better, I realize it really is a boulder and I need some help with it. But just learning that language helps you begin to process these things and figure out where does the responsibility lie? There's a lot of real good fruit and health that comes out of examining those things. And being able to acknowledge, yeah, this is bigger than me, and I'm going to need help. How will I find good help, safe help, that I can trust to help me carry these kinds of things? Right? So just to begin by coming up with that list that says, what do I think fits in my backpack? What do I think fits in my cargo? that I carry around with me. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this gift of relationship, which is really what boundaries are all about. I thank you that you have called and invited us into living good relationships with each other. But Father, as we do that, we need to learn how to make that safe, how to do that in healthy ways. And so I pray, God, over this whole expanse that you begin to build into each one of us these healthy boundaries that protect and define who we are, that we leave with a sense of confidence about ourselves, a sense of liking who we are, a sense of defending and honoring that, of defending and honoring what's in others' lives too, of knowing when to step across and not. God, it's a complicated thing, but I pray for now, just in this week, that you begin to open our eyes to understand what's in our own backpack, what's in our own purse, and what it is that we are responsible for. And bless us through that, I pray. Amen.